News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
All righty, some of the things we'll try to get to this hour. I know we're going to start out up in D.C. With Mayorkas. I think there's whistleblowers blowing whistles on other whistleblowers at this point. We've got the Boeing whistleblower.
Yeah.
You've got the NPR whistleblower.
Oh, yeah.
We have a police chief in our own city who claims to be a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
Whistleblowing is the thing right now.
It's in vogue.
Also, what were we discussing off air? Dalton and I may discuss a little bit on air with you, and that is the Muppets and Sesame Street and who's who.
Yeah.
And who's a member of what tribe.
Yeah, because for some reason we were talking about that earlier, and I got the two confused, and you're like, no, they're one and the same. And
I think they are. I mean, well,
kind of. It's anyone out there with a lot of Muppets knowledge, I know they're out there. Muppets or Sesame Street knowledge, because, you know, I got my Elmos mixed up with my, Fozzie Bear, yeah. And it's all very confusing.
So, Jim Henson, he invented the Muppets. This is the puppeteer guy, right? Mm-hmm. So, back in the 50s, I think in Washington, D.C., or wherever he was from, and then Sesame Street, they weren't part of Sesame Street, the show itself did not begin to air on public broadcast till late 60s.
Okay.
But they brought in, it wasn't all Muppets, I guess, but the Muppets were a part of that show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then they had the bright idea, and I think it was a bright idea. Now you have Muppets movies and things like that, right?
Yeah.
That all started with kind of a variety show featuring the Muppets to a grown-up audience.
Okay.
Because they could do, you know, they were funny. They would do political humor or whatever you're joking about in 1978, you know? Mm-hmm. So they had a show then, a variety show, where they was nothing like Sesame Street. It was more for laughs, and then they went on to with movies and everything like that. But they first were seen by the general public on Sesame Street.
Okay.
So
all right.
Does that explain it?
It explains it. I wonder how long it'll last, though. My kids, they're just not into Sesame Street, not into the Muppets. And I wonder how many other families are seeing the same thing.
Interesting.
They're more excited about Bluey and Peppa Pig.
Well, you got so much, you have so much out
many,
there now. So
many,
much
options.
Yeah, many options. Many options, and kids are going to get, what they're into, it's almost, I don't know. They're going to get hooked on something. You know, something's going to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's not everything. And one corner of kids' entertainment, no, they don't like that.
Right.
But there's going to be something that they like themselves, and they'll make that determination. But they already have, right? I mean, you get a movie, and they watch it 28 straight times.
Exactly. Yeah, they can quote it.
They ruin your entertainment options.
Yeah, but they are my entertainment. So
that's right.
So there's that. Speaking of entertainment, pretty much what everyone expected to happen once the House walked, and I love the I love how they act,
the procedural,
just the whole procedural motion of it all, even though they're all grandstanding and playing these political games. But House walks the articles of impeachment for Mayorkas over to the Senate a couple days ago. Yesterday, Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, convened the jury, which is made up of course, majority Democrat and now independent with Kyrsten Sinema, and then the 49 Republicans. And Chuck Schumer, who was all too happy to push through a couple impeachment trials for the former president.
True.
He was saying, this is all bunk. This is ridiculous. You're wasting our time. And he ended up, they voted, and Mayorkas will not be seeing an impeachment trial from the Senate. And this is actually the first time that an impeached government official will dodge a trial. There have been 21 impeachments for three presidents, including, of course, Trump. A cabinet secretary was also impeached, a senator, and many federal judges over the years. And the Republicans, even though I think they saw this coming, they were, of course, still not happy with this. Mitch McConnell, for one, said that Schumer's point of order, that the first impeachment article, he opposed that Schumer said the first impeachment article was unconstitutional. Senator John Kennedy, who's always quick-witted, he proposed a motion to adjourn the proceedings, and he had some funny words to say about it as well. But I think Mike Lee, who is a lawyer, he's a senator from Utah, He pretty much said what I think a lot of folks are feeling about this Mayorkas impeachment trial. Remember, Mayorkas lied. He lied on the stand. Here's Mike Lee.
What we've witnessed today is truly historic. This has never occurred. We've now set a precedent that effectively, very arguably effectively, immunizes from impeachment, making a false statement to Congress.
And maybe it's because of his comments on Israel, his support of Israel, and some of the things he's been doing recently that some say is moving him to the center. Pennsylvania freshman Senator John Fetterman. I don't know why, but some conservatives are like, "Oh, maybe he's not that bad of a guy." I don't know. That's what I've been hearing lately. And Fetterman, I mean, he'll let you know where he stands. Here he was talking about this impeachment.
I want to thank the Republicans for bringing the Jerry Springer show over to the Senate. Now, we all know it's over. Any time I can spend less time in a suit and listening to bad performance art, I support that.
So.
A believer in the Republican cause, for sure.
No. And Republicans continue to do this. Oh, that's not, they're moving center. Maybe they'll vote against. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and, he's been so outspoken on the anti-Israel stuff.
Well, and the reason behind that is the same reason that Biden is, quote unquote, moving to the center as he heads towards the November general election. Fetterman is in a blue collar and, you know, traditionally with the unions, the steel unions, it's been Democrat, but blue collar in that region of Pennsylvania forever. And he won that race against Dr. Oz by bringing in the working vote. And so while many of them support certain elements of the Democrat campaign, socially they're not as liberal as a lot of the rest of the country. And that includes with the pro-Palestine sentiments that we're seeing in places like Michigan and Chicago.
Fetterman's also Jewish.
Fetterman's Jewish as well.
Yeah.
But he's moving to the center also because he's got to keep his people happy in order to keep that seat in the Senate. And Republicans also play this game, and maybe it's not a game, I don't know, but where Democrats use their character against them. And we saw that in the George Santos, you know, dismissing him from Congress. Everyone was saying it had to be done. I don't like George Santos. He's a liar, right? But what he was a Republican vote.
It was crucial.
To see all of that go down and the Republicans say, yeah, he's out. And then, of course, what'd you expect? The New York governor appoints a Democrat in his place, which is a Democrat vote in the House, which was already very, very close. Meanwhile, you have Senator Bob Menendez, who is facing just crazy charges that, you know, he was assisting foreign governments, getting paid in the form of big gold bricks and this and that. Did the Democrats even think twice about kicking Bob Menendez out of Senate? Hell no. He's a vote.
Well,
they wheel people in from hospitals for votes.
Yeah.
They are serious about getting the votes in there. They don't care who you are or what you've done.
Well, neither side cares.
The Republicans clearly do. They kicked out Santos.
They got to the point where the pressure was, these games are played on both sides. I mean, it is remarkable that we can watch them in real time, watch people say things that we know they don't really think or care about. You know, I don't know what the breaking point was with Santos.
There were many instances where there were could have been breaking points, right?
Yeah. So he piled up a large. He lied like he was five, like some kind of deranged 5-year-old kid who never tells the truth. If you ever have one of those in your neighborhood, it is very hard to deal with because you don't know you want to hang the kid over a fence, but it's not your kid. So Santos, he wasn't our kid, but so we had to deal with him. I forget where the breaking point was, where Santos finally was let go. But the Menendez thing really doesn't surprise me. It's so crucial right now.
And the difference in Santos the liar and every other politician liar is that they're lying about the bills they're passing.
Yeah.
He was lying about
work.
He was lying about playing on a volleyball team he never played on and stuff like that.
He was lying about everything.
Right. But the Republicans, you know, high character, high moral values. We got to get Santos out of here. That's fine. But just know that the other side isn't playing the same way. And we've seen that time and time again. And now, while the Senate, you know, you've got Romney on his way out. You've got Mike Braun, who is going to run for governor rather than run for re-election as a senator in Indiana. There's several more Democrats who won't be coming back in the Senate, including Joe Manchin and Sinema, who's now an independent.
And those seats are not necessarily going to flip. I mean, you could have Republicans that win those seats in Congress. I mean, it's not a given. You'd rather have the numbers that you have, you know, maintain them. But there'll be elections to sort all that out.
Indiana and Utah, we got those one right Republican here. Seats for the Senate. I think those are probably safe. I need to look at the latest numbers. But it's Congress where the Republicans are really running into issues here. And, I mean, let me go down the list of the people who, the Republicans, who announced they're resigning. And in many instances, they're resigning in ways that aren't beneficial to the party as a whole. It's like, okay, if you want to leave, fine. But try to leave us in the best possible situation.
Best shape. Look at right here, District 2, Carl. Gets beat, and now the Republican, I mean, that is, let's not forget that right now, we're talking about this District 2 race, right now, the congressman for District 2 won District 1. Right. I mean, it's like somebody was saying that's probably never happened in the state before.
Yeah, it's I'd like to see nationwide how many times that's happened, too.
Yeah.
But, so, just for congressmen and women, Mike Gallagher, I think, was the last to announce his resignation, and he was set to resign this month. And that, with his resignation, brought the GOP majority in the House just ahead 217 to 213, which means there's not much room when they're trying to pass bills. And that probably explains, at least partially, why Mike Johnson, the House Speaker, is enraging a lot of Republicans. If he's going to get anything done, it's already such a tight line. And now he's saying he's going to have to go to Democrats for some of this stuff as well. But you've got Gallagher, who's on his way out. You had Representative Ken Buck, who stepped down last month, Colorado representative. I don't think his seat is safe on the Republican hands.
What's Boebert's status right now?
She's running for that office.
Okay.
She's running for what I believe for Buck's office that he left.
Okay.
You've got Bill Johnson, a Republican out of Ohio, who resigned in January. Of course, former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy left when he was ousted as House Speaker. He just left Congress.
Bolted.
And then you've got Santos. So who else? Kathy McMorris Rogers from Washington, Patrick McHenry from North Carolina, and House Appropriations Committee Chairwoman Kay Granger out of Texas all have announced they'll retire at the end of the year. They did not leave right now. They're going to wait till their term is up. But you look at like these Ken Bucks and Gallaghers, and I'm sure they got into Congress saying the right things, and we need this House, we need this country in Republican hands. But when the going gets tough, you see a lot of them not just bowing out, but bowing out in the most inopportune of moments for the Republican Party.
All right. Does the Republican Party take some of that blame?
Yeah. I mean,
members of the party that have created a
hostile workplace environment?
Kind of, sort of. I mean, some people aren't cut out for all of this. And if you have a part of the party that is making things disruptive, and a lot of the audience says, well, that's what we want. Okay, that's fine. But are any of these people stating the reason that they're getting out has to do with the hostile environment in which they work?
My opinion is, if you can't stand the heat, don't run. What'd you think it was going to be? Well, what'd you think you were running for?
Once they're in, who knows? Beauty contest. If they want, and maybe that's not the reason that so many are stepping away, but it could be part of the reason. I don't know. It's just the Republican Party is in disarray up in Washington D.C. It just is. It's not even arguable. For some people, that's not the environment they'd want to work in.
And maybe I'm in a bad mood this week. Maybe I'm in a bad mood a lot of the time, but I'm tired of hearing politicians whine. That's the main thing. They just cry all the time, especially when they're not getting their way. And I was thinking about it yesterday, and I'll probably catch some arrows for this, but hearing our state legislators talk about how difficult this session has been and how they're ready to go home and this and that. What'd you run for? What do you think? Did you think that you were just going to, it was all rainbows and unicorns and get over it. That's your job.
Hearing some of those people on the Jeff Poore show, it was really, you know, it was a lot of whining going on. It was kind of weird. It's like, with the guy talking about his daughter, you know, are you the only guy that's got a daughter?
It's fine. You know, I'm sure you miss your kids.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't be a legislator.
Dalton misses his kids every day. So how about that? But then he sees them later. It's 8:21 with Dan and Dalton.
8:26 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings, presented by the great folks at Tobias and Comer Law, the local personal injury law firm that's helped get fair compensation for a ton of folks in our area and on the Gulf Coast for decades, from their same office down on Dauphin Street. From car to boating accidents, defective products to workplace accidents and maritime injuries. Now, they cover a lot, but they're really great with the maritime law. Tobias Comer Law has seen it all, and their website's great, tobiascomerlaw.com. Reminder, April is Distracted Driving Month, and the stats are egregious. How many accidents, fatal accidents, or serious injuries result from people not necessarily driving while intoxicated, but just driving distracted, whether you're looking down at your phone for just a few moments, you think you're fine, or maybe you drop something in the passenger side floorboard and you lean down to get it, it could turn deadly that quickly. So keep that in mind, April, Distracted Driving Month, and check out the Tobias & Comer website, tobiascomerlaw.com. You can also call for a free consultation any time of the day, 251-432-5001. That's 432-5001, tobiascomerlaw.com.
827 on the text line, among the texts we got, maybe, just maybe, this is Fire Dog. Maybe, just maybe, we want Republicans to act like Republicans, not Democrat light. That's what he's got to say about some of the Republican infighting, I guess.
And and maybe, I don't know, Fire Dog, are you saying that that Republicans, by doing right, by evicting the George Santoses out of Congress, even if it's going to result in another Democrat vote, that it's just the right thing to do, so they need to keep doing it? I mean, I sympathize very often with the high character, high value arguments, and I wish more people were like that. I just know that the Democrats aren't playing that same game. And it reminds me of, there was a PSA a while back that there was this kid playing baseball, and he gets tagged out, but he gets called safe. And everyone's like, okay, he's safe. But he goes over to the umpire and says, no, actually, that guy tagged me out. And I think I actually did that one time as a T-ball player.
As a youth player?
But that's T-ball.
Yeah.
This is the United States Congress, mm-hmm. and I'm tired of seeing Republicans get ran over in this game when they're trying to play by the rules, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems to keep happening. Dink, and I was talking about whining politicians, Dink said most run for the status symbol, not to help the people. Well, I know there are good politicians out there who their entire intent is to make their community, their state, their country a better place. And maybe that changes sometimes when they do get elected. And I know some, many of them are just running for the status symbol.
But remember that many Republicans come from districts that don't feel like Alabama. They come from these districts, and they're beholden to their constituents. They're trying to give them what the constituents want, and it's not the same needs mm-hmm. of Republicans in the state of Alabama. There's different districts of the country that are very different than the way many people here think and just assume a Republican should be.
No, there's no doubt about that. There's purple districts that some of these Republicans are trying to keep a hold of.
Ice skate along and maintain office, right?
Yeah, that's a valid point for sure.
It's 8:30 with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Brady Petrie, who's been writing in Lanyap about the situation with the mayor and the police chief. We'll talk to him about that on the way. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:35 on Mobile Mornings. The Thursday, usually the time we talk with Rob Petrie from Lanyap.
Rob Hobart, that would be.
Oh, yeah. We're speaking to a Petrie.
That's right.
It's Brady. Sorry about that. Yeah, Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Brady Petrie is filling in. And, brother, you've been busy lately, huh?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say at this point, just over the last 10 days, nobody knows more about everything in this town than you. The things you've written about are so diverse, but the one thing that we are most interested in this morning, and our listeners as well, is what your coverage of the mayor and his staff and Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine, all that going down. Let's start with that.
Yeah, and it happened quickly, Brady. I mean, all this in just over the last week and 2 days. Tuesday, you had a city council meeting last week. No mention of this at all, as far as I can tell or remember. And then it all started Tuesday night. Prine placed on administrative leave. He starts talking to the media. We heard from Prine on Midday Mobile last Wednesday. Then the mayor came in and rebutted some of that on Thursday. And you've been writing about this the whole way through. It's convoluted because so much information has come down over the last 7 days.
Yeah, it's been a lot, and you know, if anybody has gotten lost in this whole thing, it's perfectly excusable because it has been a lot over the past week. So you get a pass if you've missed out on some of this. So I'll try to catch us up to speed. But yeah, since Prime was placed on leave last Tuesday, he's basically gone, you know, scorched earth, for lack of a better term, and mm-hmm. he aired out a lot of grievances that he has, but most notably with Chief of Staff James Barber, Public Safety Director Rob Lasky, and he's levied a lot of heavy accusations, basically, claiming that these reports, whether it be a ShotSpotter program or Operation Echo Stop or the Kenyon Brown report, basically what he has been saying is that this is all, one big plan, one big collaborated effort to oust him from office, from his position as police chief. And it culminated in the rally last Saturday where you had a lot of supporters come out in favor of Prine. And, he spoke to reporters afterwards and shared a lot of, his insight into the situation, ranging from the 321Z insights, which I know a lot of people probably have a lot of questions about, us included. With the report, or the email rather, from City Attorney Ricardo Woods, basically giving him two options to leave his position as police chief. So there has been a lot going on, and this is just the beginning.
Yeah, and I have so many questions for you. It's tough to know where to start, but let's talk a little bit about the Gulf Coast Technology Center. And this was, at the time, Chief Barber, Police Chief Barber's kind of brainchild, I would say. And Kevin Levy, also with a major assist in that, and he's still Director of Intelligence of the Gulf Coast Technology Center. And Prine, pointing to the GCTC and saying, well, while they're getting funding from, I guess, my department or somehow funding from the city, he's basically completely hands off there. And not just hands off, but apparently MPD was using the sheriff's office to gather intelligence rather than this massive conglomerate that is housed under the Gulf Coast Technology Center. And then the latest thing you have here is that this quote-unquote third-party objective report on Operation Echo Stop and ShotSpotter, while they said that it came from an objective third party, that it was apparently written by the Director of Intelligence, Kevin Levy?
Right. That's what it appears like, and that's based on documents that the city had sent over per our request. And basically, it looks as though Mr. Levy, basically wrote the report and put 321Z's Insights corporation name on it and submitted that as a peer review report. And Prine is basically been on the attack from this standpoint of he claims that $92,000 for a review from a quote-unquote suspect company, spending taxpayer dollars on this report, and that there's not a lot known about this 321Z Insights company. There's no phone number, there's no website listed, and city officials have said that the president of the company, her husband, has a standing relationship with the city, dating back to some accreditation process years ago, and that's the reason for making that connection there. But there's still a lot of questions about Levy's involvement in this and the 321Z Insights, and why the city elected to go with that company. And we spoke with Chief of Staff Barber yesterday, who said that there is an internal review into 321Z. He said that there was nothing, the contract nothing was illegal there. It was passed by the city council, as all contracts are. Nothing illegal about that, but he said that there is an internal review as to how this company was selected and you know, what they were contracted for and what the work they performed to this point is moving forward. So at least there's an internal review, and hopefully there will be some answers and as to those questions in the near future, hopefully.
I've been to 321Z's website, and let's just say they're not very aggressive in marketing their services, for sure. also, there's a nonprofit corner to this story, too. A police nonprofit, is that right? Can you explain that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Project Thrive, which I believe you're referencing,
right. Yes.
is a nonprofit corporation formed a couple of years ago that is technically under the police department's jurisdiction. And what really brought to light, you know, Brian, after the rally Saturday, brought it up as, you know, hey, maybe this is something that, you know, you guys should look into. And so we went, you know, and looked into Project Thrive and found on the Secretary of State website that on the board of directors, when it was formed, it lists James Barber. It lists Kenyon Brown, who has been tasked with conducting this third-party review of the police department's policies and procedures. And also features Curtis Graves, who was appointed as the deputy public safety director just last week, among a couple of other local city officials. And so that kind of also raised some questions about, you know, well, is, you know, if you've got these people on the same board working for a nonprofit for the police department, you know, could this report, and that's what Prime said. He said, you know, could this report really be considered objective? And now I will say that, you know, Barber has said that, you know, he hasn't, you know, been to a meeting as a member of the Project Thrive board, and, you know, he doesn't, you know, recall being a director on that board and everything. And there's not a lot of money, you know, flowing in and out of Project Thrive, which, you know, is basically just an initiative to help those who have been affected by violent crimes. And so, you know, at the very least, it does, you know, pose some questions, you know, as to, you know, the relationships and the players and all of this and everything. So it is a fascinating aspect of the story.
We're talking with Brady Petrie, a fantastic journalist for Lanyap, and you can check out his work online as well as the pink and purple boxes around town, lanyapmobile.com. Well, you've been investigating. Yesterday, the Mobile City Council, I'm sorry, Tuesday, the Mobile City Council, we didn't know how much they would discuss this or not, and they really didn't talk about it much on Tuesday. I guess they went behind closed doors for about an hour and a half to talk about what they called potential lawsuits, but it looks like we're teeing up for next Tuesday. City Council will get first look at this Kenyon Brown report, and then what happens, Brady?
Well, that's the main question that everybody has, and, you know, regardless of who you talk to, whether it's, you know, people with the city or, you know, whoever else, the main question is, you know, what's next? And I think we'll get some kind of clarity on that on Tuesday. The Kenyon Brown report is, we've been told, is supposed to be released on Tuesday, but it'll only be released to city council members at the pre-conference meeting or following the pre-conference meeting at 9 a.m., I should say. And then the regular council meeting will be at 3 p.m. And in between that time frame is when the council members are going to review Kenyon's report, and they're going to ask questions and kind of gather some information. So it's no guarantee that we'll have any kind of you know, discussion from the council members as to the report. I imagine there will be some, but with it being so, you know, fresh on their minds, they'll probably still have a lot of questions following the executive session. I'm not exactly sure how much movement we'll see on the story moving forward on Tuesday, at least from the city council's perspective.
And some other big news this last council meeting this week. Councilman Joel Daves announced he's retiring at the end of his term after three terms on the council representing District 5. Did he give any indication that all of this drama was part of the reason, or did it just seem like he was saying, hey, yeah, I've served three terms and I'm kind of ready to see someone else get this position?
Yeah, I think that's it more than anything. He didn't allude to any kind of, you know, the ongoing saga between Prine and the city or anything like that, or any other reason. He basically just came out, and it was a bit of a shocking development there at the end of the council meeting. The councilors were giving their remarks, and he just basically said, I'm retiring. You know, this, at the end of this term, that'll be it for me. And he, after the meeting, spoke to him, and he basically just laid it out that he's been He's been serving for almost 12 years, and he believes that it's time to hang it up. And I believe the quote he said was, even the pyramids have to tumble at some point. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just more a matter of him wanting to pursue other opportunities, although he did go on the record and say that those opportunities will not be in the political landscape. So he said he does not plan to run for office of any kind after this.
Sounds like a bad taste in his mouth. He's not going to be ran politics at all. Like, yeah. See you later.
He's over it.
Yeah. And you were talking about the Barry Moore.
Yeah.
Shrimping Bill?
Of course, Lanyap, keeping us updated on all things state politics. And with the big primary runoffs coming to an end Tuesday, we now know who's running for that District 2 seat, Dobson and figures. But Barry Moore, who won the District 1 seat, still getting a little work done in Washington as the District 2 congressman. And you wrote about a bill he's helping push along that would help shrimpers along the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, and you know, as these elections have you know, kind of come and gone, and we're looking down the road for them, one of the main talking points that, you know, that I've kind of focused on has been, you know, the seafood industry, which a lot of people, you know, I'm not really sure, even though we live on the Gulf Coast, I'm not sure, you know, how many people really realize how big of an industry and a lifeline that is for this area. And there was a lot of concern that, you know, there may not be that much support, depending on who got elected to District 1 and District 2, mm-hmm. Moving forward. And there's been an issue in years past of what's called shrimp dumping. And basically what that means is you have these foreign companies from places like Ecuador and China that operate in international waters, and they'll go out, catch these massive loads of shrimp, and they'll bring them back, and they're able to do this at a much lower cost. And by doing this, doing all the illegal dumping, it drives down the price of locally produced shrimp, and that's putting people out of business. Mm. You know, in places like Bayou La Batterie and, sure. And other along the coast. And so Barry Moore has sponsored this legislation. It's called the Save Our Shrimpers Act. And basically what this would do is limit the amount of taxpayer dollars going to international finance institutions like the World Bank that help set up some of these foreign corporations that are going out and doing this illegal shrimp dumping. So I think this is a good first step in kind of rectifying a wrong that hasn't really, I don't think, been kind of in the spotlight for a long time. But there's still a ways to go. But I think this is a good starting point. I think it's a good indicator that Moore will, you know, represent the seafood industry as a whole. Yeah. Moving forward.
Well said. Kind of a nod from him to his new constituents.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I see what's going on down there. And we see it in other industries, like, you know, cheap steel being imported and the effect that has or had on a lot of the steel industry in the United States. But I know on a state level, we also have Representative Chip Brown, who has made this a focus as well. And he was pushing legislation to for people to put where the shrimp was caught.
Yes.
On the packaging.
Yeah.
When you buy it at the grocery store. So you'll know if you're, you know, in shrimp from some foreign country or from the Gulf of Mexico, from American shrimpers. So good to see Moore doing that.
But when I moved down here, it's now, you know, ages ago, 1995, it never would have occurred to me that the shrimp, you know, that appeared to be fresh shrimp in a market wasn't from right here, mm-hmm. You know. It never would have occurred to me that from Ecuador or China, for sure.
And you know, that's one of the things that when you speak to a lot of local fishermen and shrimpers is that, you know, you go to the supermarket and you buy these shrimp or redfish or whatever it may be, and you know, it may have an American flag on it, and you just, you know, kind of without looking more into it, you say, oh, that was produced in America, and then you do a little bit more reading onto the packaging and it says, you know, produced in Ecuador or some other country. Mm. So there's a lot of positive steps being taken, but there's still a little bit of a ways to go.
Well, Brady, keep up the great work. We appreciate you joining us today on Mobile Mornings. And for folks who want to sign up, lanyapmobile.com, that's the way to do it and have it delivered directly to your inbox, right?
Correct. Yeah, lanyapmobile.com is a website up. Subscription. We've got basically a daily newspaper at this point. And you can also pick up our copies in any of our purple boxes.
Thanks again, Brady. And we're very flattered that you're a daily listener. We appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, hey, thanks so much for having me, guys. And I keep up the good work there.
Thank you.
All right, Brady Petrie. Lanyatmobile.com. And coming up, we'll wrap up this morning's version of Mobile Mornings. I got who Jeff Poor has coming up on his show, and I'll let you know on the way.
Dan and Dalton wrapping things up. That means the Jeff Poor Show is up next.
That's correct. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, Ag Commissioner, State Ag Commissioner Rick Pate. In hour number two, Jeff will get the Democrat response to the Jeff Poor Show from former Congressman Parker Griffith. And then in hour number three, the man we were just talking about and his shrimping bill in the U.S. Congress, Congressman Barry Moore joins Jeff in hour number three today.
Learning a lot about the Muppets. I never knew we started this discussion off air, so I just kind of been, you know.
That's what I'm hearing. You're like dropping facts on me every now and then, every break.
Let me share with the audience.
Okay.
So anyway, Big Bird is not a Muppet because he's a person inside a costume.
What?
So the Muppets.
Yeah. There's a person in there?
The Muppet, and it never occurred to me that Big Bird's not a Muppet, but Muppet, but he's not because he is a costumed actor.
Yeah, wow.
So all the rest of them are, you know, they're puppets, Muppets, whatever they are. number one Muppet on this one online, then this article goes on forever, so let's give it credit. Like, okay, it must be a great, since it's long, but it stinks. Miss Piggy is the number one Muppet.
Oh, my God. Miss Piggy, the Caitlin Clark of Muppets.
Don't be sexist. Miss Piggy's the number one Muppet. And guess who is number...
I'm not sexist. I just don't like her attitude, Dan.
Number five is Kermit. He's all the way back at number five. Does that make any sense?
He has carried them on his back for decades. His little green back.
And Elmo's done some heavy lifting for a toddler, right? he's never advanced maturity-wise. He still talks like a baby all the time, right?
Likes being tickled.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's it.
It's kind of his thing, right?
Tickle me, Elmo.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph the dog is number two.
Don't even know who that is.
It's a terrible survey.
Yeah. Bert and Ernie, did they make the list?
No.
Wow. No love for Bert or Ernie.
Nope.
That's terrible.
You're right. This is a very flawed list of the top Muppets of all time.
Texts. CB Carl says, hey, guys, don't forget that today is National Lineman Appreciation Day. I think my favorite song about a lineman, or one of them, did you ever hear Big Money by Garth Brooks?
No.
Just a great... I really liked that song, but I think Jeff has a couple that run as bumps in his as well. Gardner says, the Biden administration took off all the packaging on the info that stated where that product was made. I guess I didn't realize that, the Biden administration played a role in that.
No.
Fire Dog says, Democrats are Democrats first. Judges, senators, or dog catcher, they'll do whatever it takes to be a Democrat. Most Republicans are servants first and Republicans second. As the great Yoda once said, that is you fail. I don't remember Yoda saying that. But
he said it off camera.
Yeah.
And that regrettably, he didn't say it in the movie.
The off camera accusations that Yoda faces. Maybe we'll have to get to that one of these days.
Yeah, it's like a prying in space.
This texter says, I'm pretty sure the Republicans don't want to oppose the left. Their actions speak louder than their words. It's been that way for decades now.
8:59. What do they want me to say here at the end of the show?
21 hours.
Okay. Dan and Dalton back in 21 hours. Somebody said they would be delighted if we said that.
A request.
We said it one time, and that's probably it.